Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Monday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. We are live from the Auction Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what is going on? Congratulations to Coe College.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Two-run walk-off homer for Coe College with one strike left.
We were down to our last strike in the regionals, the Division III NCAA College Baseball Playoff Regionals against the third-ranked team in the country. And Riley LeGrand, our number two hitter, sent a towering shot off of the two-time conference pitcher of the year. It wasn't a walk-off. It was the top of the ninth. We still had to survive the bottom of the ninth. We were down to our last strike. And with that home run, Coe Baseball advances to the Super Regionals this weekend, playing Birmingham Southern.
Which means another day off for Burnsy.
Which means another day off for me on Friday.
Another day off for Burnsy.
Another day.
I'm so programmed, I was getting ready for a bad news for Birmingham Southern.
Oh, God.
Man. Also that, though. Yes.
Good news is he's completely out of vacation days for the next 7 months.
Pretty much.
So just take whatever days you want. He's got to be here. He's going to man the fort for the next 7 months. But congratulations to Jake.
I appreciate that.
And Coe College, we got to get that in there. You know what? We're all rooting for you.
I appreciate you were texting me during the game.
We're all rooting for you, man. For you guys to go as far as you can.
That's cool.
To enjoy that. Yeah, we are.
At one point, you texted me and said, tell Jake to hit one off that house there in right field.
I was watching online. My kid had four games this weekend, but in between, I was kind of trying to watch it, and I saw a big house or something. I said, tell Jake to hit the house! Hit the freaking house! Hit it!
So I hate to say it with the day off thing.
Yeah.
Well, if they win two out of three this weekend, then it's D3 College World Series time.
You're out.
That's going to be like 8 days right there.
No? I put the email out now. Can you? You know, do you want to purchase vacation time from any of us? I mean, what's a day worth?
Is that possible? I didn't know I could do that.
I might sell you a day for $500,
but I will not. Right. I will not burn that bridge until I get to it because Coastal has to win two out of three. So congratulations to Coach Steve Cook and the guys back there in Cedar Rapids. I think they're listening right now online. So a great weekend. Good to be back. But our job here is to talk about Arizona sports, not Iowa sports, not Division III baseball. So let's tell you what our top story of the day is here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Going deep. Today's top story, Burns and Gambo.
A great weekend for Coe baseball. Not so hot for Diamondbacks baseball this weekend. 4-6 homestand, culminating in losing 2-3 to the San Francisco Giants, who this just in aren't very good.
No, they're not.
And you did it with starting pitching that suddenly is starting to look
What's that?
Starting pitching, where the starter gets you 21 outs, right, and then turns it over to the bullpen with just six outs to go. Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were just going bullpen by committee. I don't have anybody who can go past like four innings, so apparently, I figured, I just go bullpen
Apparently not on this team.
The opener. I thought that was the opener.
Well, Zach Godley, if that was his job on Saturday, he didn't do a very good job of it.
You know what?
Yesterday, Robbie Ray. I mean, I know we've all acknowledged that he's not going to go deep into games. He's got to go better than four.
Listen, the Godley thing, I think we can accept it, right? Okay, maybe he's just not that good. Robbie Ray is supposed to be your number two, and he's not. He's not a top two pitcher on this team. Luke Weaver is past him. Luke Weaver's now your number two. And Robbie Ray, you're killing the baseball team. I mean, you're absolutely killing the team with these high pitch counts. You have to get pinch hit for in a fourth inning. You have to get pinch hit for. I mean, it is it's concerning that Robbie Ray had 87 pitch. You know, he went to a full count on six different guys in the game. No ability to pitch deep. You know, I'm sitting there and I'm watching the game, and it's just like, wow. He just doesn't have the ability to go deeper into the games. He goes to too many full counts.
Yep.
So many guys foul pitches off. I mean, it was so many foul balls when he's pitching, so many 3-2 counts. As I'm watching the game, I was like, yeah, he's going to be out of here quickly. And he was. He was out of there quickly.
Robbie Ray, after the game, on having to pitch better than he has.
I'm still just trying to go out there and put up zeros. I feel like I've done a pretty decent job of doing that all year. Pitch count just got elevated early. Like I said, with those tough at-bats and laying off some good pitches, maybe some non-competitive pitches as well. So, I don't really put a focus on bullpen day, day after bullpen day. I know I can go out there and be better.
And hey, credit to the Diamondbacks bullpen, who has been taxed quite a bit lately, who pitched well yesterday outside of Yoshi Hirano.
Right, gave up the home run.
Gave up the home run in the 10th.
Sandoval, yeah.
And look, if Brandon Crawford doesn't make the play of the day,
three-time Gold Glove winner,
then we can live with it.
Then Adam Jones hits a walk-off, Ahmed scores, yep. But Brandon Crawford, I mean, that is as good a play you'll see as a shortstop. The ability to dive and then get onto your feet and make a good throw when he got Adam Jones, and that would have scored the winning run in the bottom of the ninth. But I'm telling you, I'm watching that, you know, that inning where they scored the two runs, and it's like, you know, single by Panic, single by Solaro. 3-2 pitch, he walks Austin. Then he walks Longoria. Pilar gets a ground out. He comes back, he strikes out Voit and Williamson. And I watch that inning, I'm like, oh my God, he's got maybe one or two more innings left.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. I mean, four innings pitched. The question really is, what do you do? What do you do?
That is the question.
With Robbie Ray.
What do you do about
this? Is he a starting pitcher? I mean, honestly, is he a starting pitcher? You can't have your bullpen go five innings in games all the time. Is he a starter? Do you just live with the fact that he's going to give you four or five innings? And if you get six, you jump for joy? Do you try to convert him into a closer? Do you try to convert him into a reliever? What do you do with him?
Yeah.
He is not going to be a guy that pitches deep into, it's just not like, it's not happening. And you can't change him.
And before we get, and inevitably we'll get a tweet or a message from somebody. Oh, Max Scherzer. We were having the same conversation about Max Scherzer back in 2008 and 2009. Here's the difference with Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer was at the end of his second year when the Diamondbacks decided to trade him to the Tigers. How many years has Robbie Ray pitched for the Arizona Diamondbacks?
Five.
One, two, three, four, five. This
five.
Is his fifth year. I mean, Max Scherzer, at least you could make the argument that we really didn't know who he was when the Diamondbacks. We had the exact same conversation about him back in 07, 08. Man, can he go deep into games? Is he just a closer? Will he ever get a secondary pitch? Will they ever get a third pitch? Let's trade him because we just don't think he has any value as a starter. And he obviously turned out to be one of the very best in the league. Robbie Ray has had more than twice as long as Max Scherzer to establish himself as a big league starter, and he just hasn't been able to do it. He just hasn't been able to do it.
He's been in Major League Baseball for 5-6 years. He's not like he's 23 years old anymore. I mean, this is who he is. So you accept him for who he is, right? You accept him for who he is, and you either live with it, and you've got a five-inning pitcher. Let's just five innings. That's his average start is about five innings.
Yep.
And you just deal with it, or you find a new role for him. Because to sit there and say, we're going to turn Robbie Ray into a guy that can go seven innings. No, you're not. Yeah, no, you're not. It's not going to happen.
You feel like it would have happened by now.
It's not happening.
Just for comparison's sake, when the Diamondbacks traded Max Scherzer, he had made 37 starts in a Diamondbacks uniform. Robbie Ray has made 117 starts.
Difference between night and day.
It's just not the same
but
situation.
But it's just who he is. Now, the Godley thing is, and I've always been a fan of Zach Godley, he doesn't have it this year. Like, he just doesn't have it. I mean, he was terrible, you know, in that game. And they wanted to let him go a little bit longer in the game. And especially with Robbie Ray coming up the next day.
Yes.
And you know that Robbie Ray's not going to. So he goes 3 1/3, gives up 6 hits, walks 2, 4 runs. I mean, right now, I trust Greinke and I trust Weaver. I trust those two guys. Merrill Kelly on occasion. But there's no trust in Godley. And Robbie Ray is, usually good at his four or five innings.
He's got an ERA of what, 3.25?
Right. He's usually
good
at those four or five innings.
He just can't stay out there very long.
You just have to you got to be willing to accept the fact that he's not going to go more than five innings in a baseball game.
Troy Lovello,
most of the time.
After Saturday's game, which was the Godley start, said this.
I don't know yet. We'll probably sit down and talk about it as soon as we possibly can. Try and turn the page as quickly as we possibly can tonight on the day, but come back maybe tomorrow with a little less emotion and sleep on it, and try and get the guys together tomorrow and just go over what some of their thoughts are and make the best decision moving forward. I don't know that answer right now, but we're gonna talk about it.
Now, that was in the aftermath of Saturday's game. He was asked the question, "Where do you go with Godley's rotation spot?" The answer was, "I don't know." The next morning, Sunday, before the day game yesterday, the answer was still the same. "I don't know. I don't know what we do with Zach Godley's spot." Mike Hazen made some comments to AZ Central in which I think he made it clear, ideally, long term, they fix Zach Godley because they know they're a much better rotation when Zach Godley is the guy that he was 2 years ago when he was pitching to a 3.5 ERA. His ERA is up around 8 so far this year.
Well,
he is a major liability in just about every situation for him.
And that's why, with the setback of Taijuan Walker, that they will move up the timeline of trying to get themselves a starting pitcher. So that, you know, nothing's impacted for the next 4 to 5 weeks because they weren't expecting to have Taijuan back. He would have been on rehab. But this does push up the fact that they've got to address the depth sooner rather than later. They do have to address the depth more in the future, but they need to focus on starting pitching now. If Walker was coming back, they might not have, but now they will focus on starting pitching. Who that is, I don't know, but the focus will be on adding a starting pitcher. Before the Taijuan Walker injury, it was more a position player or more of a relief pitcher. Now it is a starting pitcher that they're going to have to go get.
If they put Taylor Clark or John Duplantier in the starting rotation, they're going to need depth behind that guy in case something happens to somebody else in the rotation. Yep. They're thin. This sort of feels like the story about the kid who puts the fingers in the holes in the dam, right? And I'm just
One keeps coming up.
Feel like they're running out of fingers to put in the holes right now when it comes to their starting pitching.
Right now, the Arizona Diamondbacks would be in the playoffs today. I think they'd be in the playoffs as a wild card team or tied for the wild card. So they're right there. I mean, they're right there. Yeah. We're close to June, and they're right there. So that's the good news.
Suns will officially introduce Monty Williams as their new head coach tomorrow. But today, today we got an early present from one of the Suns' biggest rivals. Thank you, Magic Johnson. Next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Incredibly disappointing display of the lack of leadership in the Lakers organization. A lack of leadership from owner Jeannie Buss, who agreed to hire a guy who basically said, I want to do this job part-time. A lack of leadership from Magic Johnson, even thinking he could do the job part-time.
This is a bad, bad, bad day for the Los Angeles Lakers. Magic Johnson basically said, you got something for me behind my back, Rob Pelinka? I got something for you, too. Let me show the world how you can't be trusted. That's basically what Magic did on national television. I did not know he was going to do that.
Backstabbers.
All right, full confession.
Oh, the OJs, baby.
Full confession.
The OJs.
I've never heard that song before.
That's not true.
100% true.
We've played it on this show like 18 million times.
No, I don't believe we've ever played this song on the show before.
You ever heard The Love Train by the Backstabbers?
I've heard The Love Train, yes.
The Love Train.
Never heard this song before. I have not
heard Jordan, have we not played this song before?
I believe we have. I don't think it's been 18 times, but yes, I think we have played
it. Well, I have been on vacation basically
for
the last 3 months.
You have been the whole year.
2019 is the year of Dave Burns.
It really is. So if you've played it any time in the last 3 months, chances are good.
Crank this part up right here. Right here, right here.
Don't make them miss what they do. They smile on your face all the time. They want to take your place.
The Backstabbers.
Magic Johnson on First Take this morning. Rob Pelinka was the backstabber.
Then I start hearing, you know, Magic, you're not working hard enough. Magic's not in the office. So people around the Laker office was telling me Rob was saying things. And
Rob Pelinka.
And I didn't like those things being said behind my back that I wasn't in the office enough and so on and on.
Ooh, man.
Oh, boy. Did anybody besides Pelinka stab you in the back?
No, just Rob. I was going to help elevate him to the president's position. And so when all this was coming back to me and guys calling me saying, you better watch out for him. And then what was crazy was when I took the job, you know how many agents called me and said, you got to watch out for him. And I said, I got to give the guy a fair chance. You know, I can't listen to people. But he was a hard worker, smart guy. But now you have that position. So I'm good with that.
You can't stab Magic in the back and not have people tell him about it. He's Magic Johnson.
Indeed.
He's one of the greatest players that's ever played the game. If you're talking about him behind his back, they're going to know. People are going to go to Magic and say, hey, this guy, yeah, he's got a knife in your back. Just the way Lindsey Hunter did it to Alvin Gentry and did it to Vinny Del Negro. You find these things out. Here's the thing. My God, like Bill Plaschke wrote this. This is great. Magic Johnson has once again performed the seemingly impossible. He has just made the Lakers messier. He's made it messier. They introduced their new head coach today.
They did.
Frank Vogel's sitting there like, is there any questions for me?
Yeah. Because today, it was Rob Pelinka Day. It wasn't Frank Vogel Day. It was Rob Pelinka Day for the Lakers.
Truly, it's saddening and disheartening to think he believes things that are a misperception. I think all of us in life probably have been through things where maybe there's third-party whispers or he said, she said things that aren't true. So these things are surprising to hear and disheartening. But I look forward to the opportunity to talk with him and sit down with him and work through them, just like in any relationship, because they're just simply not true.
Because think about if you're Rob Pelinka.
They're simply not true. Was he lying?
You've got to discredit Magic.
You have to.
But at the same time, you can't bury Magic.
No,
he's Magic.
I'd like to talk to him about this.
Right.
We got to clear the air. This was hours, just hours before the Lakers held a news conference to introduce Frank Vogel as their coach. He took a freaking blowtorch to Rob Pelinka.
That was at the press conference Frank Vogel introduction. So if you're Rob Pelinka, what a corner you've just been painted into by Magic Johnson, because you have to deny it. You have to say he's wrong, but you have But you have to say it delicately, because he's Magic Johnson and he's revered.
I mean, what if you just came out and said, listen, Lilo, you want to cut to the chase here? The guy was never around. How is he supposed to run the organization? He's like Lisa Love at ASU. She used to show up at 10 and leave by 2. Lisa Love, when she was the AD at ASU, man, she had the best hours in the world. She showed up at 10, 10:30. She was gone by 2. Lisa Love. That's why she was a crappy AD. She worked 3.5 hours a day.
Wow. It's more than Burnsy does.
I was going to say, I want to talk to my agent. I want to get some Lisa Love hours. I probably should.
She had the cake job, Lisa Love. I mean, you know what? I might take that approach. Listen, you want to be honest here? The guy wasn't working hard enough. Do you see our record over the last 6 years? I mean, we put Magic in charge of everything, and nothing was getting accomplished. He wanted to fire Luke Walton. He wanted to fire me. He wanted to get rid of everybody. It just wasn't the right thing. We needed to bring more people in to have more of a voice, because Magic wasn't around the team enough to know what he was doing.
Take the most legendary figure in the history of the Phoenix Suns organization, okay? And magnify it by 5.
Player-wise?
The
Suns have never had a player at that level. They just never have.
Okay.
There's never been a player even close to that level.
Let's go Jerry Colangelo.
Okay.
Nobody in the Suns organization could publicly badmouth Jerry Colangelo even if they wanted to. He is revered by the local fan base. And that's why Rob Pelinka can't do everything you're just saying, because it'd be roughly akin to James Jones coming out and saying awful things about Jerry Colangelo, which he would never do. Or Robert Sarver saying awful things about Jerry Colangelo, which he would never do. I mean, that's how revered Magic is in that town, which is why they can't do exactly what you're suggesting. And all the while.
So you just got to take this.
You just got to take it.
Okay, but now
you hope that by the time free agency rolls around, it's faded enough that you can still get guys to want to go there.
Who the hell's going to want to go there?
I don't know.
Magic said you're a backstabber. Hi, this is Rob Pelinka. You're like, Rob Pelinka calls an agent? You think that player's going to want to go? Magic Johnson just said that this guy's the biggest backstabber in the world. You think a free agent's want to go play there?
Here's what Rob Pelinka said about that today at the Frank Vogel press conference.
I think that all we can do is do the work, and that's what we're going to stay committed to, is just doing excellent work. And I think if people take a look at where this franchise is right now, we have a great coach. Again, we have a high draft pick. We have a great young core, maybe one of the best in the league. We have a superstar on our team and an open slot. So I think that people can look at this as an opportunity to come and win a championship possibly next year.
What? Guy's high, man. What is he smoking? We can win a championship next year.
God, this is great.
Do they have an NIT in the NBA?
Do they?
Yeah. They might.
What championship are you winning, Rob? Maybe you're delusional. Look, honestly, I think this guy's got to think about resigning. I think that there's so much damage done to him right now. Magic Johnson just said you backstabbed him the whole time he was there. You're done. Dude, you're done. Yep. You're done. You're finished. Your career's over. You're not surviving this. Magic Johnson's on TV hours before your press conference, said that you undermined him the whole time you stabbed him in the back. You're done. You're finished.
It's going to be hard for you to do your job.
You can't do your job. It's impossible.
If you read some of the other things Magic said, too, I mean, he paints this picture of the two bus brothers are trying to be involved in basketball decisions. The guy who's in charge of the business part
Harris.
Of it is trying to be involved in basketball decisions. Jeannie Buss is being pulled this way. She's being pulled that way. She's taking advice from Phil Jackson. She's taking advice from, who was the other one in there? She was taking advice. I mean, she's getting all sorts of people.
Kurt Rambis.
It was Kurt Rambis' wife. That's who
Kurt
it was.
Kurt Rambis' wife.
She's getting all sorts of advice and direction from so many different people. No wonder that organization
is
a mess.
This guy's toxic. He's toxic. You can't have this guy leading your organization. I'm telling you, you can't. He can't be the leader of that organization when the entire league is going to look at him right now. There's trust issues.
Yeah.
There's going to be trust issues.
Did anybody beside Pelinka stab you in the back?
No, just Rob.
No, just Rob. Just the one guy. Just Rob.
Just Rob. Hey, dude,
he was him. Can you imagine Rob Pelinka watching his TV this morning and going, oh crap.
Thanks, Magic.
Oh, crap.
Oh, Magic wanted to bury him. He wanted to.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Oh, Magic Plug. This was perfectly planned to bury Rob Pelinka for undermining him and what he wanted to do. Magic wanted to fire Luke Walton. And then they brought other people in and said, okay, let's wait. And then in the end, they decided to fire him. But Magic was like, there's too many cooks in the kitchen here. Everybody wants to say. And Rob's the one who's kind of orchestrating this whole thing.
Here's him saying that. Here's Magic saying exactly that.
I didn't like that Tim Harris was too involved in basketball. He's supposed to run the Laker business, but he was trying to come over to our side. Jeannie's got to stop that. It's too many people at the table.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens, everybody gets to share their opinion, and it's so much information coming at her that then when I say, hey, we have to do this, she can't make a decision because they said, no, don't go the way Magic go. You should go
other
left.
Other people already got
right.
to her.
Exactly.
And I'm back to remind you.
So her love for those people and respect for those people often caused us to not make the right choice or there's no decision. And so I said, listen, you can't run a corporation like this. You can't have everybody think that they can have a voice or opinion about the final decision.
As a Suns fan, this is a glorious day.
Oh, I love this. I love
it. It really is. As a Suns fan, it's just a glorious day to watch that team just...
He's kind of like Cersei on Game of Thrones, huh, Rob? Wouldn't you join that good a comparison? Cersei? Right? Yeah, I'll go fight with you guys. Nah, no, I'm not. You know, like...
Just him and Jeannie Buss huddled together underneath a block.
Blocks.
Was he the one with the Poland Springs water bottle behind his left ankle?
No, that was...
Has anybody else...
Sam?
Have you guys
seen that?
He was
one of the guys at the council,
one of the water bottle.
I honestly don't know how people catch this stuff. I really don't. I don't know how people pay that much attention to
it. I don't watch the show for a second.
I could have watched it 15 times
over the freaking internet last night. I mean, look, there's a water bottle right before his left ankle. Look at that. What's that doing there?
Hated the ending, by the way. Just hated the ending.
It's not getting good. Not getting good feedback.
Did not like the ending.
We knew Patrick Peterson was not going to be there. What we didn't know were all the other guys who were not going to be there today to open up OTAs. We'll talk about that next with the Arizona Cardinals coming up here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
Sarah Cazell is standing by with today's Twitter poll question of the day. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Good
appreciate
to
the
see
enthusiasm.
You.
Yes.
Oh, you got it. Right, you're always enthusiastic to see you. It's always good to see you. You know, unlike me, I'm never here. So it's you're always here. You know.
I take some days here and there. It's
every now and then. What you got for us today with Twitter poll question?
Burnsy takes some months here and there.
Just some solid quarters.
Yeah.
You know, Q1, right. Q2, etc.
In my defense, every day I have taken off so far in 2019, every single one has been in pursuit of watching my son play his final year of college baseball.
Listen, that's great. Fair. We're all happy that you're out of days now and you have to work the next 7 months. We don't have to worry about it anymore.
Not like
we don't
sitting
have to
on a
like,
beach
hey,
somewhere.
When's Burnsy's vacation? Don't worry, he's done. He's done for the year. So it's like, we all know you're done.
Yeah, that is true.
Except when I'm gone this Friday because it's the Super Regionals for Cope. What's the Twitter poll question of the day today,
all right.
Sarah?
Speaking of baseball, which part of the D-backs pitching staff concerns you the most right now? I'm sure there are several different facets that are concerning to you, but which concerns you the most? Three options. 44% of our voters have said Zach Godley is the most concerning part. 38% say an inconsistent bullpen, so just lump all of them in together. Uh-huh. And 18% voted for Robbie Ray.
I think I'd vote for Robbie Ray. He's supposed to be great.
The problem is you have to accept who he is. And everybody wants him to be something that he's not. He's not He's a five-inning pitcher.
Yeah, except that what we got out of him on Sunday was less
was four.
Than that.
I know,
it
but...
It was less than what he's supposed to
be. And every once in a while, you'll get six. But look, on sometimes you'll get four, sometimes you'll get six, but on average, it's going to be 5 innings. He's a five-inning pitcher. Take it or leave it. What do you want?
You can vote for that on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. At Burns and Gambo on Twitter is where you can follow the show. You can like the tweets. You can interact with Sarah and Jordan and us on that account. In the meantime, today, the first day of voluntary off-season workouts, OTAs for the Arizona Cardinals. Patrick Peterson not there as expected. Cliff Kingsbury, the head coach, with his reaction to Peterson's suspension for the PEDs.
I mean, it's disappointing, obviously, but you deal with adversity as a team, and we all support Pat and know what type of player he is and person he is, and we'll be really excited to get him back.
Apparently, Cliff Kingsbury hung out with Peterson at the charity event on Friday. I read that. You probably talked about that on Friday. But at the charity event where Peterson issued his apology for what he did on Thursday night, the two hung out there for a while. But he wasn't the only one not there. No Fitz, no Terrell Suggs, no David Johnson. Now, David Johnson, his wife had a baby, so okay. And it's still voluntary. Kingsbury was asked how much of those vets miss out on by not being there today.
That's all part of it. I mean, it's voluntary, and we understand that. And so if guys miss, we have a plan to get them caught up.
Do they communicate to you ahead of time?
Yes. Yeah. There's been great communication in that regard.
Nothing you can do.
Really isn't, is there?
There's nothing you can do. There's veterans all over the league that aren't showing up to these things. And then you saw today, who was the, it was a Reuben Foster that got injured, had to be carted off the field.
10 minutes into Washington's first OTA practice, and he gets carted off the field in tears.
Right.
In tears. So, I'm not.
Left leg injury, carted off the field. I mean, yeah, that's, you know, that's the fear, is that type of thing. But these veteran players, It's almost like when you've been in the league for a long time, if you establish yourself like Patrick Peterson has and Larry Fitzgerald has, you know, it's I don't need to be there. I'm not going to be there. As long as I'm taking care, I'll be in shape. I'll take care of my body. I'm not going to be at these voluntary workouts. Now, you would hope that these guys looked and said, okay, I got a new coach. I got a new coaching staff. I got a new quarterback. I want to be there to kind of, I want to win. Like if I really, I mean, it's hard to make the argument that you really want to win when you're not there. I'm sorry, but it is. Hey, I really want to win more than anything in the whole world. You've got a rookie head coach with a
rookie quarterback.
How badly do you really want to be there if you're not going to show up to these things? Now, I will say this. I don't think you've got to miss to be there for all of them, but you got to be there for some of them. Don't you agree? I mean, there's three different levels of these, and each one's like 3 days long. It's like 10 total practices. And then the mandatory is in the middle of June. There's a mandatory that nobody's going to miss because you get fined. You get fined each of the 3 days up to $80,000 if you miss it.
$84,000 if you miss all three. This week, the 20th, 21st, and 22nd, three practices voluntary. May 29th, 30th, 31st, voluntary, three practices. Week three, June's 3 through 6, four practices. Those are all voluntary. Then the mandatory minicamp is, you mentioned, June 11th, 12th, and 13th. Those are three practices that everybody has to be here. I hate to give... Look, if this nonsense hadn't gone down with Patrick Peterson, I don't know if I'd be that worried about it. I don't know if I'd be worried about him not being there. But because the nonsense went down, I'm kind of worried that he's not choosing to be there. It'd be nice if he were showing up. Fitz, I hate to give Fitz the pass, but it feels like whatever Fitz needs to do to get himself caught up, he's going to do it. Like, he's the guy who... has, right or wrong, has so much equity built up with Cardinal fans that if he doesn't want to show up for the first day of voluntary minicamp, he doesn't have to show
older,
up.
Older, give his
day.
Body a break, don't push himself so much, try to get him through the season by not doing these practice. He hates the practice part of it. This is one of the reasons why when he thinks about retiring, it's these things that he doesn't like.
Am I wrong to give him a pass and yet expect slash want everybody else to be there? Is that wrong? Because that's kind of how I feel, and I don't really know a good way of justifying that other than I feel like Fitz has earned it.
I feel differently. I feel that it's a rookie quarterback, it's a rookie coach. Like, be there for some of these days.
Okay. So you think even Fitz should be there?
Just some of them.
Okay.
Not all of them.
Okay.
I'm going to be there for a few of these days.
If he shows up tomorrow or the next day, you're fine with
that. Or even like the next one.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going to miss this one, but I'll be at the next one because it's spread out over three different times. So my point is just... in the end, let's see how many. If these guys miss all of them, it's like, do you really care about winning? Do you really care about winning? Yeah. You didn't show up to any of them?
Peterson, the suspension. Cliff Kingsbury talked about that a little bit today.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out, you know, through training camp and what adjustments will be made. But you don't replace a guy like that, obviously. But, you know, on the bright side, you get to week 7 and he comes back. That's a huge boost.
Robert Alford, presumably the starting cornerback, saying we support Patrick Peterson.
I mean, we support him. We support him. Pat is a close friend of mine. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, that's the league's rules, and it's the next man up in this organization.
What was the reaction, since I was gone on Friday, as we've well established, what was the reaction to the apology on Friday? What was the general feel for the apology and how it was received by Cardinal fans? I was very curious about that and kind of lost track.
It was mixed, but I think that, you know I was doing the show with Tim Ring, and it was like, man, like, you know, he was very upset that the timing of it, that it came out the day, you know, he had his charity event.
Right.
It felt like it was very ill-prepared, like his PR department did a terrible job of making him, because the speech was very quick and didn't really explain very much. And I thought the PR person just did a really awful job. They've known about this for a while. You got to be prepared. You got to know exactly what you're going to say. And it did seem like it was kind of rushed and things like that. I think for the most part, the fan base feeling that we were getting, the feedback we were getting was, you know, he's a great player. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt and hope that he shows up after week, because that's what he said. I'll be there in, you know, week 7 ready to play. And if that's the case, then that's great. I still worry a little bit about the trade deadline. He's going to come back, and you've got 2 weeks before the trade deadline.
One other thing quick about today's OTAs that was made very clear by the people who cover the team on a day-to-day basis. They're allowed to watch all of the OTA practices. They are not allowed to report on anything that goes on at the OTAs after the first 20 minutes.
Right.
They can watch, but they can't report. So the amount of time that this offense is in the shotgun, the amount of time that this offense is in 10 personnel, which is one running back, zero tight end, and four wide out, nobody can say. Nobody's allowed to say. If you're there as a media member, you can watch it, but you're not allowed to disclose that information. So in terms of what the offense is going to look like, it's really hard to get a gauge from it from now, because you're just not allowed to report that. Otherwise, they'll, you know, just say, well, then practice is closed and you can't be here. We're trusting you not to give out our secrets. I wasn't able to attend today. I'd love to know. I'd be really curious.
How much they're going to be in that pistol?
Are they in shotgun? I mean, A.Q. Shipley went on national
time.
Pat McAfee's radio show, and I think he said 99%. We're going to be in the shotgun 99% of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be that much, but it's going to be a lot.
He's a small quarterback.
Yeah.
You need to get him further back from the offensive line.
See that picture of him at the rookie symposium? We'll talk about that a little bit.
I did see that.
The little guy.
A
little guy.
What are you trying to say?
I'm just saying, he compared to all those other guys, he got to
start singing short people have got no reason to live.
No, so cute. I didn't know.
Okay, you're jumping
you said,
in here.
I just said little guy. I didn't start calling him cute or anything. Like he was, he's just, wow. People are really reacting to a Twitter photo of him standing in the front row.
Man, Cotton Fitzsimmons had a comment once about somebody who was small. He said, I could eat crackers off his head. You remember that?
I don't remember. No.
There was also Thomas went to the Nuggets and somebody tweeted, well, what have we been calling him this whole time? Which still makes
me
cackle.
Who did Cotton say that? Cotton said that about somebody.
That's funny.
Cotton Fitzsimmons, I could eat crackers off his head. He's so small.
The combine is over. So after a few of the players on the Suns' radar left early, where does that leave James Jones with the 6th overall pick? An update on the Suns and their plans in the draft next on the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, live from the Auction Community Studios. The draft combine in the NBA is over.
Nothing to write home about. I mean, some of the key players left. Obviously, Coby White, Darius Garland. I mean, the Suns didn't get a chance to interview them or talk with those guys. They basically just kind of showed up and then said they were there, and then they took off. So those are two guys that the Suns have on their radar. I can continue to say this. The Suns have not made a promise to either one of those players. They both walked out. The Suns have not promised either one of those players. You can take that to the bank. There's not a promise there to either one of those guys. The Suns need to work guys out. They've got to see him. They've got to measure him. They've got to do all of that stuff. So there is no promises being made to either one of those players. I'm sure I've got those both guys on my list, the players that they would like to have.
Mm-hmm.
But those guys hopefully will be able to come in here for a workout, and the Suns will get a chance to see him in person.
There was and Jordan, you mentioned it during show prep. I can't recall who it was who had suggested that it was either
Chicago Tribune.
It's not Sam Smith, but
I'll track down the author. But they mentioned multiple sources believe that
it was either the Lakers or Suns.
Yeah, well, it's not the Suns. So okay. It could be the Lakers. I mean, it could be the Lakers, but it is not the Phoenix Suns.
The Lakers with Darius Garland is just fascinating to me. We talked about this all last week, and you know, without knowing how it's all going to break, there does seem to be a lot of logic behind the idea of Rich Paul, if he is a big Darius Garland supporter.
Sure.
You know, and it clearly, based off of the Magic Johnson story today, the Lakers are an organization in flux. The Lakers are an organization where you can influence their thinking and perhaps take advantage of the dysfunction and the chaos in that front office by suggesting a guy for a spot. And if you're Rich Paul, and if you're LeBron James, you undoubtedly have power. Now, how much power, I don't know. But you've got power there in that organization. And you could use that to suggest that Darius Garland should be the pick at number four.
Could be. It very well could be Darius Garland to the Lakers. The only thing, listen, I'm not saying that Darius Garland's not coming here. I'm just telling you, the Suns didn't interview him. They didn't talk with him. Neither one of those guys. Those guys showed up. They said they were at the combine, and then they took off. For what reason, I don't know. But there is no promise made by Phoenix to either one of those guys. Either one of those guys would be good here. Either one of them would be good. And when I start to think about it, I do think there's a chance that one of them will be there. I'm hopeful that one of them will be there. When you consider that three of the top six picks are going to be Zion, Ja, and RJ. Well, that leaves three more picks. The Suns, there's three more picks, and two of them are, those two would have to go back to back in order for the Suns not to get
one. Talking about Darius Garland and Kobe White.
Yes. Right,
would have to be the guys who would go.
Yeah. They both would have to go 4-5, and then the Suns would pick between, you know, the Culver kid, DeAndre Hunter, and see where they're at. But there's a chance that one of those two guys will be there at six.
Is Hunter under consideration now?
He's under consideration. One of the things you got to remember too is I'm expecting them. They're going to trade some of these wing players, possibly Josh Jackson, possibly T.J. Warren. And if the both of those point guards are gone, then DeAndre makes some sense. You know, the main thing I just want to continue to reiterate out there, because I've been getting a lot about this. I don't know about you, but with Memphis taking Ja Morant at number two. Mike Conley's on the block to be traded. The Suns are not trading for Mike Conley. I don't know how many times I have to say this. He's not an option for the Phoenix Suns. Tim Ring was all over that. He loved Mike Conley. But there's like $65 million left on that contract.
I bet you two argued passionately about that Friday while I was gone.
I mean, he's 32 years old. Well, yeah, because sometimes, you know, Tim's a little.
What? Are you doing the cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs thing right now?
For Cocoa Puffs.
You're doing the cuckoo,
every once in a while. Yeah. Mike Conley at 32 years old, do $65 million over the next 2 years is dumb. It's not happening.
I wouldn't go badmouthing Tim Ring if I were you. It sounds like you two are going to be working a lot together coming up in the next
few
weeks.
You're out of vacation. You'll be working with them. I got to take my vacation.
Co-college is going deep.
Go Ring all the way. It's the Gambo and Ring show. I mean,
I want to continue to say Conley, no chance on Conley. Take it out. Forget it. It's not. Mike Conley will not be on the Suns.
So there's that. Remember last week, Seth Greenberg, he was on Bickley and Marotta. He thinks all this talk about Garland anyway is sort of misplaced because he just doesn't think he's going to be there for the Suns at six.
Well, I don't think Garland will be available. I think he's going to go as high as four. Garland's terrific. He reminds me a lot of Damian Lillard. Can come off a ball screen, jump up, deep range, good vision. I went to Italy with him and then worked him out in Houston with the Adidas Euro Camp and Adidas Nations. He's a very good player that if he didn't get hurt, he would no doubt be probably the fourth pick, maybe even higher than that in the draft. He's got legitimate size. Obviously, the knee is a concern. He does have a burst, but he can really shoot it, and he's very, very good reading ball screens. So if he drops to Phoenix, you guys hit a home run.
And remember, Seth Greenberg was really high on the North Carolina point guard, Kobe White, who's more of a combo guard, as you've mentioned many times.
If I was the Suns, I'd be all over Kobe White if he's available. I think Kobe White, 6'5", can play the point, learn the position. You watched him improve as the season went along last year, which is so important. And that's a big thing when you're dealing with these young players. I like to see where they were at the start of the season and where they are at the end. And not just their statistics, but their feel, their IQ. Have they become winning players? Have they been learned to play and be inclusive with their teammates? And I watched Coby White, and he legitimately got better.
But no matter what happens outside of a trade, we do all need to acknowledge that whoever it is, Darius Garland, Coby White, Jarrett Culver, DeAndre Hunter, is still at the very end of the day just a 19, 20, 21-year-old kid.
Right, which is why there'll be another point guard here.
Yeah.
There could be, and I've mentioned Corey Joseph. I've mentioned TJ McConnell. Brogdon could be a possibility.
He'd be an expensive possibility, wouldn't
depending he? On the price.
He'd be a he's
mm-hmm.
okay. If we're being honest here,
yep.
Of all the names, that's the one that causes me to sit up in my seat a little bit. Okay, but he's going to cause a lot of NBA experts around the league to sit up in their seat
because he's
so good.
He's 26 years old. I mean, he's going to look to me like he was a second round pick. So he's going to look to make some money, right? He didn't make any money on that first contract.
Nope.
But he's good. I mean, he's a good player. He brings great size to the point guard spot at 6'5". He's definitely more of that combo guard that you're looking at that could shoot, that could pass, that could do a lot of, like, he's perfect. But how much would he, get in free agency? That's
right.
The biggest question. The Suns, you're not going to be able to pay that guy $18, $19, $20 million a year to come here and be your point guard.
Suns don't have that kind of money.
No, they don't.
Not unless they make some other moves.
Now, they'll make some other moves to free up cap space, but right now they only have about $7.5-$8 million.
Believe me, that'd be a name to get excited about.
Sure.
I'm not allowing myself to even think about it because I just think that's so far out of reach financially. I think that's so far out of reach financially for this team to do it. He'd be great. He'd be great. Great, great, great. Prime.
He would
career.
Be great.
Yep.
I would love to get him.
Tomorrow is Ticket Window Tuesday. It's presented by Arizona Central Credit Union. You're going to have a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Dave Matthews Band at Auction Pavilion on September 13th. Listen at 7:15 a.m., 10:15 a.m., 12:15 p.m., and 4:15 p.m. for your chance to win. Rookie quarterback, transitional roster. There are many questions surrounding the Arizona Cardinal. What has the potential to be the biggest flaw for the 2019 Arizona Cardinals? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.